Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
May be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. See this wonder in the making. God himself, this child is taking as a lamb safe in his keeping, his to be awake or sleeping. Yaroslav Vida's 20th century hymn about God's taking a child as a lamb safe in his keeping is appropriate for any baptism. But Vida's hymn was especially appropriate for Lucy June's baptism on this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Easter, what is affectionately known as Good Shepherd Sunday. Vida's hymn is all the more appropriate on this Good Shepherd Sunday, since in this year's appointed gospel reading, we hear Jesus, the Good Shepherd, speak about just how safe his lambs are in his gift of eternal life. This morning we consider the gospel reading under the theme, The Good Shepherd Gives His Sheep Eternal Life. Before today's gospel reading, the divinely inspired St. John in his account uniquely records how around the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus healed a man blind from birth, how the Pharisees investigated the healing and threw the man out of the synagogue, and how Jesus spoke both about the Pharisees' blindness and about himself as the Good Shepherd. Jesus' teaching about himself as the Good Shepherd again divided the Jews. Some said that Jesus had a demon, was insane, and should not be listened to, and others said that Jesus' words were not those of a man with a demon, and asked whether a demon could open the eyes of the blind. Then, as we heard it in today's gospel reading, 2 months later, in winter, when the Feast of Dedication, what we usually call Hanukkah, took place at Jerusalem, in the temple's colonnade, popularly thought to date back to David's son Solomon, Jesus was walking about. And so a group of Jewish leaders gathered around or encircled Jesus with hostile intentions, as if to prevent his escaping them. Perhaps prompted by Jesus' earlier having described himself as the Good Shepherd, which was a figure of speech for the Son of David, the Christ or Messiah, the long-promised Savior. The Jewish leaders repeatedly and determinedly demanded that Jesus tell them plainly if he was the Christ. Affirming that he, in fact, was the Christ, Jesus answered that he had already told them so, that the works that he was doing in his Father's name bore witness about him. But they were not believing that he was the Christ. They were not believing because they were not among his sheep to whom he was giving eternal life. The Jewish leaders certainly could have been among Jesus' sheep. The Jewish leaders could have heeded Jesus' voice, and he would have known them. They could have followed him, and he would have given them eternal life. But the Jewish leaders did not heed and follow, for they did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. The real question was, who was and who was not part of Jesus' flock? And the answer to that question depended then, and depends now, on whether individuals are sorry for their sinful nature and all their sin, and trust God to forgive them for the sake of his Son, Jesus the Christ. Without such repentance and faith, wandering and straying sheep, as the Jewish leaders were, and as we are by nature, wandering and straying sheep are lost and perish eternally. By talking to the Jewish leaders, Jesus called them to be his sheep. And so also Jesus calls us to be his sheep. We pray now, as we will pray in today's first distribution hymn, O God, let us hear when our shepherd shall call in accents persuasive and tender, that while there is time, we make haste, one and all, and find him our mighty defender. Have mercy upon us, O Jesus. The Feast of Dedication recalled the Jews' last great deliverance, nearly 200 years before the events of today's gospel reading. Then, the temple was rededicated after an abominable desolation. Foreign rulers, both placing a pagan idol in the temple and sacrificing pigs on its altar. The annual Feast of Dedication was a symbol for future deliverance, a present and future great deliverance that Jesus, out of love for you and for me, brought about by sacrificing the temple of his body on the altar of the cross. The very next Passover, the next time St. John reports Jesus' being in Jerusalem, the Jewish leaders at his trial again questioned him over his identity as the Christ. And when he again confessed his true identity as the Christ, they sentenced him to death. And yet that death on the cross for our sins, the good shepherd's laying down his life and taking it back up again, makes it possible for Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to give you and me, his sheep, eternal life. Since the man, Jesus, is also the Son of God, a person distinct from the Father, but also one with the Father, of the same divine substance and essence, Jesus could die a death that could make up for the sins of the whole world, including your sins and mine. And our crucified and resurrected Lord both graciously reveals himself to us and forgives our sins through his means of grace. In today's gospel reading, Jesus told the Jewish leaders that the works that he was doing in his Father's name, works such as healing the man blind from birth, bore witness about him. But those works also affected the Father's mercy and grace. Jesus' word is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. His word is recorded that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing we may have life in his name. As with probably all of us earlier in our lives, this morning that word with water in holy baptism called Lucy June by name and put the triune name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon her. Spiritually blind by nature, as we all are, she was made to see. Whether or not she herself can speak words confessing sin and professing faith, we are sure that God took her as a lamb safe in his keeping, for he promised to do so. And so I can question her, and her sponsors can answer for her. As long as it does not contradict Holy Scripture, the liturgy need not be limited to only what is explicitly found in Holy Scripture, even as our Lord in today's gospel reading celebrated a feast not commanded in the Old Testament. Those who are baptized in the triune name privately confess to their pastors the sins that particularly trouble them, and then receive individual holy absolution in that same triune name. By such absolution, Christ our Lord essentially forgives us. His voice speaks through the pastors, and our sheep hear and follow. As we hear our Good Shepherd's voice, he comes to us and eats with us, and we with him. In the sacrament of the altar, he himself gives to us, prepares for us, a table in the presence of our enemies. With his wounded hand, he here feeds us with himself, bread that is his body and wine that is his blood, so that he might be in us and we in him, one with each other and one with him, as he is with the Father. In all these ways, through all of these means of grace, our good shepherd, through his under-shepherds, as we heard in today's first reading, cares for or shepherds his flock, the Church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. The church consists of holy believers and sheep who hear the voice of their shepherd, gathering around his word and sacraments. As the church was separate from the synagogue of Jesus' day and from false churches at the time of the Reformation, so the church is separate from false bodies today. Those who reject the church and her means of grace thereby reject the good shepherd and his gracious gift of eternal life. The good shepherd not only gives his sheep eternal life, but he also keeps them from perishing eternally and from anyone snatching them out of his hand. We indeed live as sheep in the midst of wolves, wolves that would like to snatch us away from the flock, but no one is able to snatch us from the good shepherd. Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, was lost of his own accord, and he is a warning to us of the danger of not abiding in Jesus. Unlike Judas, we do not fail to repent of our sin, and we also do not despair of our salvation. But we let God, who has predestined us to salvation, lead us to repent and believe, and thereby strengthen our faith, assuring us of our salvation through his means of grace. All of the power that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit share so works for our good. An old European folk saying associated with infant baptism supposedly says, "We took you to church a heathen, we brought you home a Christian." Yaroslav Vida said that he translated that saying in today's baptismal hymn with the words, "Here we bring a child of nature, home we take a newborn creature." That total transformation and the resulting gift of eternal life are Lucy June's. And that total transformation and the resulting gift of eternal life are also each one of ours. In the words of today's epistle reading, our good shepherd has guided us to springs of living water, the baptismal font. So already, now we who are baptized join all the company of heaven in the eternal worship of our triune God. The good shepherd gives his sheep eternal life. We will never perish, and no one will snatch us out of his hand. We will dwell forever in the house of the Lord, our good shepherd. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.